Good evening. Thank you for your patience and welcome to the regular meeting of the Housing Authority of the City of Oakland, California. The time is 6:20 p.m. for this regular meeting. Chair, we can begin.
Welcome, everyone. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right. Can we have our roll call, please? Here.
Mr. Mays.
Present.
Mr. Jones.
Present.
Mr. Montgomery.
Present.
Mr. Castillo.
Present.
Mr. Gonzalez.
Present.
Vice Chair Harwood is excused.
Thank you. We have a quorum. So starting with Commissioner Castillo, per California AB 2429, are you joining remotely due to an emergency circumstance?
Yes, thank you, Chair, I am.
Is there anyone 18 and over in the location of chief?
No, there is not.
No, and they're both just.
That was intended to be a just cause.
Yes, Chair, that would be correct.
Great, thank you. Commissioner Dardis.
Yes, Chair.
California 2429, are you joining remotely due to a just cause?
Yes, I am.
Is there anyone 18 and over in the location with you?
No, there's not. I'm alone.
Can I get a motion to approve Commissioner Dardis and Castillo's participation via teleconference?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Great. Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Chair Brinkley?
Aye.
Mr. Montgomery?
Aye.
Sorry. My fault.
Yeah.
We'll start over. Chair
Brinkley? Aye.
Mr. Mays?
Aye.
Mr. Jumbly?
Aye.
Mr. Montgomery?
Aye.
Mr. Castillo?
Aye.
Mr. Dardis?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Okay, so this takes us to item 3.1, which is approval of the minutes for December 8, 2025, for our special board meeting of the commissioners meeting. Are there any questions, any comments on those minutes?
Yes. No, we have none, Chair. My apologies.
If none, can I get a motion, please, to approve?
This is Commissioner Dardis. I make the motion to approve the minutes of December 8, 2025, Commissioners' Meeting.
Thank you. I second. Can I get a roll call, please?
Chair Griffin?
Aye.
Mr. Mays?
Aye.
Mr. Jumbly?
Aye.
Mr. Montgomery?
Aye.
Mr. Castillo?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much. And this takes us to item 4, which is recognition of people wishing to address the commission. Do we have anyone who's interested in addressing the commission?
We do not, Chair.
Okay. Takes us to item 5, which is old or unfinished business. Do we have any?
We do not, Chair.
Thank you. Let's take this to modifications for the agenda. Do we have any modifications?
We do not, Chair.
Moving right along to our new business. Our first item is 7.1.
Thank you. Item 7.1 is a resolution approving a 3-year master agreement between the Oakland Housing Authority and Local 1021 SEIU Maintenance Unit. This comes as a completion of a 6-month plus negotiation between the Housing Authority management team and our represented employees in the maintenance unit. And this negotiation has been led under the leadership of our Senior Director of Human Resources and Employee Experience, Mr. Drew Felder. I want to do a public appreciation for Mr. Felder, his HR team, and the management staff who worked alongside. I represented employees to come to this conclusion. Thank you, Mr. Felder, and you have the microphone, sir.
Good evening, Commissioners. Drew Felder, Senior Director of Human Resources. Before you tonight are three very closely related items, item 7.1 through 7.3. The first is a resolution approving a new memorandum of understanding, or MOU, with Local 1021 SEIU maintenance unit. So there are two different units, one is maintenance, and the other is assistant property administrators, housing assistance reps, and housing health building specialists. This MOU includes several changes to compensation rates, which includes a 3% increase in cost of living adjustment, which is also referred to as COLA, to all SEIU maintenance pay ranges retroactive back to July 1 of 2025. Also, a 1% increase effective March 2026. These percentages were determined by a comparison with other local agencies, as well as a comparison with the Bureau of Labor Statistics Consumer Pricing Index, as well as federal agency adjustments made in 2025. During the negotiations process, it's also a practice to work with vendors to have all of our salary schedules reviewed. And in this review, it revealed that the crew chief position was under the target range for compensation, and that target is within 5% of the market average. So for that reason, this MOU also includes a 0.7% increase in the crew chief salary schedule, and point out in the resolution, it currently says 7, that was not true, but it is 0.7%. And in addition, speaking of salary schedules, for several negotiations tables now have been suggested by compensation survey vendors that we begin to expand the number of steps in our pay ranges to be more comparable with the market. This would be a longer-term process for all pay ranges in the agency, but to begin that with this MOU, we're going to start by adding one pay range to the top of the SEIU maintenance pay range positions, because the bottom of the range just shows to be more comparable than the top is. So there's a place to extend the top makes more sense. Then lastly, the authority and the union have agreed to a $2,500 signing bonus for all maintenance unit staff. And these signing bonuses are a means to speed along negotiations, as well as a way to offer staff financial relief, but does not cause a long-term financial burden to the employer. These changes were all agreed to and overwhelmingly ratified by the SEIU maintenance employees. And I'm going to take any questions.
Thank you, and I want to thank you for that, Mr. Felder. And I want to once again note for the record the adjustment to the resolution. Item number three, it is a 0.7% increase to the crew chief pay scale. So thank you. And with that, it concludes our staff report, Chair.
Thank you very much. Do we have any questions or comments regarding this item?
I just want to thank Drew and his team for, I told him it's downstairs, but we appreciate it.
I totally echo Commissioner May's compliment. Drew, just thank you so much. We know that it was not easy, and we just appreciate the negotiation and the support to the staff and the way that it's been managed. Thank you very much.
I'm guessing we all echo that. If there are no other questions or comments, I would entertain a motion to approve the resolution as amended.
And so moved.
All right, we have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, so Secretary Wells, are there any members of the public wishing to address the board regarding this item?
We have no individuals wishing to address the board on this item, Chair.
Thank you. Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Chair Griffith.
Aye.
Mr. Mays.
Aye.
Mr. John Murray.
Aye.
Mr. Montgomery.
Aye.
Mr. Castillo.
Aye.
Mr. Dardis.
Aye.
The motion carries unanimously. That takes us to item 7.2.
Thank you, Chair. Item 7.2 is a continuation of the management executive team leading resolution of cost of living adjustments. is a resolution authorizing cost of living adjustments for employees of the authority not subject to a memorandum of understanding. And here to explain this item is our Senior Director of Human Resources and Employee Experience, Mr. Felder. Sir.
Good evening again, Commissioners. This next item before you is to approve the cost of living adjustments and provide an equity bonus to our unrepresented employees. It is the authority's practice over the years to provide unrepresented employees with a comparable COLAs, or cost of living adjustment, as to what is given to our represented employees to maintain equity. To that end, tonight, we are asking the Commission to approve a 3% retroactive COLA effective July 1, 2025, a 1% COLA effective March 1, 2026, and a $2,500 equity bonus to all unrepresented managerial level employees and employees. Our unrepresented positions are also in need of changes to the pay scale. However, that will be an item that we will get before we're down the line. Then be happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Do we have any questions or comments from the commissioners? Okay, hearing none, I would entertain a motion for item 7.2.
I'll move that.
Thank you. Can I get a second?
This is Commissioner Dardis. I second the motion.
Secretary Wells, are there any members of the public wishing to address the board regarding this item?
There are none, Chair.
Thank you. Can we get a roll call vote?
Chair Griffin.
Aye.
Commissioner Mays.
Aye.
Commissioner Jolly.
Aye.
Commissioner.
Aye.
Montgomery.
Aye.
Commissioner Castillo.
Aye.
Commissioner Dardis.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Item 7.3.
Thank you. Item 7.3 is third of the series of three under our human resources leadership, a resolution approving a three-year master agreement between the Oakland Housing Authority and Local 1021 SEIU, Assistant Property Administrator, also known as APA, Housing Assistance Representative, also noted as HAR, and Housing Eligibility Specialist, also known as HESs. And here to present on this item is our Senior Director of Human Resources and Employee Experience, Mr. Drew Felder.
Good evening again, Commissioner. this next item is a partner item to item 7.1, and this is the approval of a new MOU with Local 1021, SCIU, for APAs, HARs, and HESs. This is the administrative partner to the maintenance of SCIU. As such, they are receiving the same COLA and pay range adjustments as well as the same signing bonus. And in this MOU, the housing eligibility specialist was found to be under market comparison by 1.6%. So we are asking to increase that position pay range by 1.6% to have them be within 5% of the market average. And again, all SCIU, APA, and HAR and HES representative employees ratified these agreements with resounding in support.
Are there any questions or comments, commissioners?
I have none at this time.
I would entertain a motion.
This is commission.
Everybody would like to make a motion.
go ahead.
I'll make the motion.
Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Excellent. That was from Commissioner Montgomery. Secretary Wells. Are there any members of the public wishing to address the board regarding this item?
There are none, Chair.
With that, can we get a roll call vote?
Chair Griffin.
Aye.
Mr. Mays.
Aye.
Mr. Jolly.
Aye.
Mr. Montgomery.
Aye.
Mr. Castillo.
Aye.
Mr. Dardis.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Takes us to item 7.4, and Mr. Felder is not able to leave yet.
Thank you so much. Item 7.4 is to adopt a resolution authorizing and approving amendments to the Oakland Housing Authority technology usage and security policy. This is another step in the series of my commitment to the board and to the agency of building up the infrastructure of the Oakland Housing Authority's programs and operations by enhancing and solidifying policies and standard operating procedures so that we do our work with great stellar and aptitude. On this item, I want to point out that in addition to our staff leadership speaking today, I want to give a note of appreciation to Carol DePlessis, senior advisor to the executive director, and Juan Fia, who is one of our technological managers,
security
administrators. Thank you very much for our IT department. And here to present on this item is our director of information technology, Mr. Brandon White, and our senior director of HR and employee experience, Mr. Drew Felder. Gentlemen.
Good evening again, Commissioner. As we've mentioned, and as Executive Director Wells mentioned, the authority is undertaking a large-scale review and update of agency policies. And in December of 2023, this policy was updated. However, since then, it has become clear that in order to best execute past practices in cybersecurity, management of devices, and some other issues, the policy needed to be updated. And it has been updated around multiple topics, such as guidance around cybersecurity standards, governance of access to systems by vendors, risk management, and several more. If the board approves these policy updates, new and updated procedures will be generated from this policy and distributed in our Aspire SOP system to ensure that all employees are properly educated on how to best comply with the updates of policy. That concludes my report, and we're glad to take any questions. We would be glad to take any
questions. I have a question. How does that work with the SOPs? How does that translate?
Well, I'm so glad you
invited
to talk about.
I'm not even a plant.
So we developed a system called Spire, and what that is, it's a repository for all the policies, procedures, salary schedules, and what we used. Basically, anything that is a government's documents exists somewhere inside that system, and it's connected to everyone's email. So what we do, and also there's an app for all of our folks that aren't at a desk already, they have access to an app, so we can put stuff up. The way the SOPs get distributed is that there is an announcement to everybody that there's a new SOP. There's also a link to an SOP, and typically we include that little test to make sure that people read it and understand it. And then I keep track of who has and hasn't read it, and then we go back and we monitor folks to the and take a look at it and system take a look.
Great. Thank you. Does anyone else have a question or a comment?
Through the chair, this is Commissioner Castillo.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you so much for the item. I was just curious if we've upgraded the policy to include any AI situations that might occur.
Yeah, so this policy in particular, there's a whole separate policy that we approved. So we're working on a separate policy that's going to specifically address AI use and guidelines around what is and isn't acceptable and what the best practices are around that.
Oh, thank you. And that'll be before the board also, I presume.
Actually, the board did pass that policy in the previous year. The team is looking at enhancing it based upon some items that have come up in the last 6 months nationally. So we anticipate it may come back before the board by the end of the fiscal year. And that's being led again with this team, Mr. Felder, Mr. White, and our senior advisor, Mr. DePlessis.
All right. Thank you so much.
Great question. Thank you.
Chair, back to you, please.
Thank you. Are there any other questions, comments?
I would just mention that the description by Mr. Felder of Aspire is an item that he and his training team are extremely proud of, because they're able to track when each of us go in and make sure that we pay attention to learning those policies and procedures. So it allows us all to kind of self-manage our own professional development growth and alignment with the agency procedures. So I think it was an ability for me to once again thank Mr. Felder, Mr. White, and their staff teams on getting that system up and running and in good working order for this new advancement under the leadership of Mr. Felder.
I very much appreciate hearing about that new advancement, and I could tell that Mr. Felder was excited. If there are no other questions or comments, I would entertain a motion to pass the resolution for item 7.4.
This is Commissioner Dardis. I move approval of item 7.4.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Secretary Wells, are there any members of the public wishing to address the board regarding this item?
We have none, Chair.
Thank you. Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Chair Grindin?
Aye.
Mr. Mays? Aye. Mr. Dunwoody?
Aye.
Mr. Montgomery?
Aye.
Mr. Castillo?
Aye.
Mr. Dardis?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. You are dismissed, Mr. Felder. You are not, Mr. White. Go ahead.
So item 7.5 is to adopt a resolution authorizing the executive director to execute a two-year contract with 2 one-year option terms with Quisitive LLC through a General Services Administration Multiple Award Schedule, also known as MAS, in an amount not to exceed $322,295.94 for the initial term and $161,147.97 for each one-year option term for an amount not to exceed a total of $644,591.88 for a term not to exceed January 31st, 2030. This is a continuation of the Housing Authority utilizing technical expertise that leverages the skill sets of Housing Authority staff for central office functions, in this case, strengthening the Housing Authority's network and business systems behind the scenes network. And here to present on this item is our Director of Information Technology, Mr. Brandon White. Sir.
Thank you. Good evening, Commissioners and Executive Director Wells. My name is Brandon White. I'm the Director of Information Technologies Department, IT. The item before you, 7.5, is to adopt the resolution, excuse me, authorizing the Executive Director to execute a two-year contract with 2 one-year option terms with Quisitive LLC through a General Service Administration multi-award schedule, MAS, in an amount not to exceed $322,295.94 for the initial term and $161,147.97 for each option term for an amount not to exceed $644,591.88 for the term to not exceed January 31st, 2023. We've utilized Quisitive LLC under Board Resolution 5260, using this vendor to help us with Microsoft product support and product services around Office 365, SharePoint, Microsoft Teams, OneDrive, other Microsoft-related projects around that product stack. Our goal is to, once again, extend this contract with this vendor. It is our recommendation for the Board of Commissioners to adopt this resolution to continue support with Quisitive Inc.
Thank you. That concludes our staff report.
Do we have any questions or comments from the commissioners?
Oh, I do have this is Commissioner Dardis. I was just curious from our IT leader, have you enjoyed working with this firm? Can you just speak a little bit about that?
Yes, the team has enjoyed working with them. They've worked with our service desk, which is equivalent to our help desk, and then also our infrastructure team, which is our back-end kind of support as well. So across the board, everyone has enjoyed working with them so much so we've, yes, thank you.
That's excellent. Right, because it's hard to find really competent folks that's also going to be responsive to your team, making lives easier. Okay, thank you. All right, thanks.
Thank you for the question. Are there any additional questions or comments from the commissioners? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion.
I so moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Secretary Wells, are there any members of the public wishing to address the board regarding this item?
There are none, Chair.
Thank you. Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Chair Grindin?
Aye.
Mr. Mays? Aye. Mr. Dunwoody?
Aye.
Mr. Montgomery?
Aye.
Mr. Castillo?
Aye.
Mr. Dardis?
Aye.
Motion carries. Motion unanimously. Hope you're okay, Ben.
Thank you, Mr. White.
Thank you.
We'll take this to item 7.6.
Thank you, Chair. Item 7.6 is to adopt a resolution authorizing the Executive Director to execute a contract amendment with Spark Holding Inc., utilizing unspent funds in an amount not to exceed $480,000 to the current Spark Holding Inc. contract, resolution number 5326, and extending the term for the contract in the time not to exceed December 31st, 2026. I will note that this is utilizing a vendor who has provided assistance to the Housing Authority working with our information technology team, and we're now transferring the remainder of unspent funds in a time extension only for them to continue assisting our contract compliance and general services department on the business system that facilitates our procurement. And here to report on this item is the Director of Contract Compliance and General Services, Mr. Josh Robin, sir.
Good evening, Commissioners. Josh Robin, Director of Contract Compliance and General Services. And as the resolution read, we're adopting a resolution to extend the time and no other other thing with the contract to amend for that extra time. As noted, it originally started with an IT procurement and was utilized for technical assistance. They have since discontinued that service in that department, but we, along the way, in November of 2023, we took on one of the staff to help us implement the Cobblestone system, and along the way, ongoing development of other modules and other portions of the procurement system. Some of the benefits that have come out of that have been look ahead at process innovations, system, ongoing system administrations, which identifying issues, creating resolutions to those, other programming development in the contract lifecycle configuration. We've also done extensive testing of system enhancements and upgrades along the way, developed ad hoc reporting that enhances visibility across the agency for all staff to utilize, data analysis and system data cleanup within the system from the original implementation. And again, as new users come on the system, we also do orientation utilizing them. One of the additional components is a technical writing component and development of desk manuals and other training materials for the agency and staff. And along the way, they are utilizing that to align with our standard operating procedures and our agency policies. Some of the upcoming projects that we have left to still take on are to continue and develop the procurement plan for the agency, but actually look to incorporate that into the Cobblestone system. So we have almost like a 360 look at what is ahead of us for planning purposes. Also, we're looking to continue to develop a new procurement workflow to enhance the user experience. One of the projects is to launch the solicitation gateway, and then again, continue ongoing system administration. As just a check on where we've been, in the last calendar year, we have spent $422,000 with the staff that we've utilized and anticipate to be at or underneath that number in the upcoming year. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, sir. Chair, that concludes our staff report.
Great. I have a question.
Yes.
What is the solicitation gateway?
So that is a portal that would allow vendors to come and register, create their own registration process. So they'd have a profile. They'd get notified of solicitations that we would actually put out as an agency. And so currently we're using an external system that is effective, but at the same time, I think could be possibly more effective utilizing something centralized to ourselves. And so we're looking to roll that out and have where the place where we put out all our bids and RFPs, RFQs, and other solicitation. Including solicitations.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Wow.
Any
questions or comments?
I would love, these actions that we're approving are really about transforming the underpinnings of how we collect and give and analyze information, for our decision making, to save money, to expand and even look at more creative ways. I just applaud the place and this moment that we're in. And, you know, a chair, it would be really, well, exciting, at least for me, maybe others, if there was a way that as the commission could have like an orientation to how we're doing this. I'm sorry, I'm a new commissioner, so I recognize I still have such great excitement. But I have such affinity and respect for our team and the way we're working so hard to make things accessible. So I'm naming what I'm seeing at what these contracts are doing, the impact that it'll have on our interface. And so Chair and Director Wells, it would be really wonderful, I think, for us to see and engage what that's going to look like. You know, that whole new film of using technology, the interface of our employees with the artificial intelligence software that we're including, the way of really trying to automate and make it easier and quicker for us to get payments out and receive folks' information. This is just extraordinary. I think, I mean, are we all aware that's what's happening right now? Yeah. Forgive me, buddy.
So Commissioner Dardis, I think that is excellent. There is nothing like pulling back the curtain so that we can all see what the magic looks like.
Yeah.
In addition to hearing about the magic in this way. So assuming that works with the agency.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Commissioner Dardis. What a great question, and timely as the leadership team in the room are working on the 2027 budget, which includes planning for the strategy to actually take the housing authority's efficiencies in our programs and operations to the next level. So if I may, as we work on that topic under the leadership of Mr. Madamba, our Director of Finance, and our leadership team, let us look at what that could look like. And then I'll propose to the chair which of our upcoming board meetings, probably closer to the end of the fiscal year, that the team can give a presentation, because I think it would go well to align with the budget presentation on what that looks like and the planning for it financially.
That makes sense.
Thank you. Thank you. So, team, we have a challenge to, and I believe the phrase was, pull back the curtain and let them see what really happens in Oz, OHA. So we're excited. Thank you.
That is so beautiful. Yeah. Wow.
I'm glad that the response was what you were looking for, Commissioner Dardis.
Yeah, and you know what, really, I don't want to, okay, so I want to name something else. And if this is the wrong format, please forgive me. I will get trained. I'll do better, I promise. But I, when I put that out, I don't want to put it out in the sense of it must happen now. It's really for it to work with the rhythm of what Directors Wells is just laying out. So truly, if in even in two, however you're thinking, make this work for your team. And if you're okay with what I'm offering, it's really amazing what they're doing, commissioners. Okay, I'm just excited.
Thank you.
And I really hope, and you know what else I just want to say? I really hope our residents are engaged at the time when they should be, so that they understand of trying to make it easier. Or maybe we're just in an age where that's just the expectation, that it will just always try to streamline and... just want to name
Thank you, Commissioner. I'm looking at our operations team who are working and having those kinds of discussions right now. So again, the question is great timing as I look at the operations team around the room.
Okay. Thank you.
Wonderful. I just want to say, Mr. Logan, I'm not sure that you anticipated that this would elicit so much excitement, but I'm so glad that it
I will echo that excitement. It's no, I mean, honestly, the advances we can make as an agency, I think, are there's a lot of opportunities. So I think I'm excited for what we can do.
Okay. Do we have any additional questions, comments, or excitement that we want to share? Okay. Hearing none, I would entertain a motion.
As you mentioned, I didn't officially say there's no one from the public seeking
you
to.
First.
Thank you. For some reason, my brain.
I'm
went
keeping
stressed.
My finger on
thank
that.
You, thank you. Thank you. I got so excited. I'm already talking.
And she is.
Yeah.
I'm watching.
Yeah. So then
thank
I
you.
So I can ask you in a minute if you.
Yes,
like.
Ma'am.
I would entertain a motion.
I'd so move.
Can I get a second?
I'll second.
So this is your moment, Secretary Will.
Are there any members of the public?
There are not yet.
Okay, great. Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Mr. Griffith?
Aye.
Mr. Mays?
Aye.
Mr. John Lee?
Aye.
Mr. Montgomery?
Aye.
Mr. Castillo?
Aye.
Mr. Dardis?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. Item 7.7 is an update on the installation of high-speed wireless internet, specifically at Adele Court, a 30-unit public housing development designated for our elders, our senior community. It's a continuation of the Housing Authority's investment into ensuring access to high-speed free Wi-Fi for all the families that we serve at our owned and managed properties. And here to report on this item is our Director of Asset Management, Ms. Anna Kavanskaya, and her colleague, the Director of Property Operations, Mr. Mark Schifferl. Team?
Good evening, Commissioners. Thank you for letting us present this item. Before we provide the background, I just want to formally acknowledge Carol Duplessis, Special Advisor to Executive Director, who spearheaded this effort, among others previously, on addressing the digital divide for clients who live in public housing developments.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an informational item. We are presenting it to you in the interest of full transparency because we do have an existing contract with IRVivo, and this contract is for the four public housing sites, Lockwood Gardens, Peralta Village, Campbell Village, and Palo Vista Gardens. While this is a small procurement under $150,000, $250,000, we want to alert you that the total aggregate amount for this vendor for the entire agency will increase by $130,412 because of this new contract. It will be a brand new contract. We are going to structure that as a 5-year contract with 3 years as an initial term and 2 1-year options to renew. Just to provide the background, this is one of the housing authority efforts in addressing digital divide. COVID-19 really highlighted the need in having internet for the clients who reside in public housing. The first contract was executed in December of 2024. And brought internet to public housing sites, the four that I mentioned. Housing Authority did not include Adele Court in the first procurement because of the unique configuration of the building. The four public housing sites that we have are primarily garden-style apartments. Adele Court is a four-story building with a concrete foundation podium, so it would require a different type of installation. We wanted to make sure that this the building also will get internet access, and led by Carol Duplessis, Open Housing Authority issued competitive procurement. We got several responses, and IRVivo was determined to be the most competitive and competent, and also the most competitive in terms of the price, I would say, is one of the best prices. Under this contract, IRVivo will install a dedicated 10 gigabyte fiber connection to each unit. We anticipate that if the contract is executed, this process could take from 3 to 4 months, but hopefully faster than that. We routinely meet with IRVivo team previously on the weekly basis. Now we transition to the 2 biweekly meetings to address any technical issues, any issues with installations, customer concerns. We have dedicated staff members that work with IRVivo on the Office of Property Operations side as site managers for asset management, Sarah Telles. There is a customer portal where all of the incidents or customer concerns are recorded. We are working with IRVivo to provide a comprehensive but concise report that can speak about customer calls as well as the incidents. We are tracking how many we have. In the last 60 days, we had 4 incidents, and by incidents, I mean the technical support that could result in some network issues or potential network outages or some updates to the system, and by customer calls, the actual customer calls to the company for any internet-related issues. And it could be something as the TV is buffering, you know, the router is not registering. Arriva did experience a lot of technical issues in the last year, in November and December, primarily related to one of their subcontractors, who is also a fiber provider. Since then, they have fixed this issue as well as switched to different subcontractors. So as we're looking at the call for service, as well as the incident reports is a big less. So only 10 customer support tickets in January, 6 of them are resolved. One of them is that TV buffering that I mentioned, and the other 3, they tried to get in touch with the customer, with the client, to have that one-on-one over the phone troubleshooting. If they're not able to troubleshoot, they dispatch a local staff member to address these issues. And that concludes my presentation. This is an informational item only, so no vote is required. We are available to answer questions.
Thank you. Great work.
Yeah.
So glad to hear that we're able to extend that opportunity to the bill court as well as the other public housing sites.
Mm-hmm. Yay, yeah. Team.
I was just going to add, as the commissioners gear up, one of the things I appreciate about Ms. Kananovskaya and Mr. Schifferl is that they are providing kind of a realistic reception within the community, mm-hmm. from families. And it's there's been a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of engagement, but also a lot of concern given, and correct me if I'm wrong, team, the concern about privacy, mm-hmm. incidents mm-hmm. of what you read in the paper about cyber theft and that kind of thing, but also concerns which the team is addressing on when you're doing something at this scale, mm-hmm. is the ability for the service to work as intended consistently. Mm-hmm. I think. So
right.
It's, I just wanted to point out to compliment what Anna has provided,
yeah.
that it's been an interesting learning experience, and I appreciate the flexibility of our team as well as our vendors on trying to figure out how we really take something that has been pretty much for scale at property this old,
mm-hmm.
Families that are used to doing things a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And so at some point we'll do a larger presentation just to talk about that. But I wanted to acknowledge that
mm-hmm.
it really has been a mix of mm-hmm. learning, lessons learned, team, as well as excitement within the community.
Mm-hmm.
And strategic on how Mark and the team has approached that, because we have done the customer satisfaction survey and took this data to make improvements. Staff is constantly in touch with the clients if there's any issues.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, we definitely manage this contract by having their routine meetings with our mm-hmm. We're not able to attend. There's definitely the staff on Mark's side. His team is always there, excited, you know, monitoring the issue, very, very present.
The best part of the end result product of this is the infrastructure of each building and gets the fiber lines run from where the lines come in all the way to the individual rooms. So at the time, the Newtown Road isn't here. I think two to go to different service. The fiber lines are already dedicated to an outlet in each upgrade.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Excellent.
The system is without holes, and the fact that we routinely meet just allows us to address them timely.
Mm-hmm.
And as they happen versus learning about them later on, knowing that there were issues with the subcontractor, really learning like, what are the issues with some of the individual households. Both Mark and I have access to the portal so we can really zone on what's happening in the individual households. We'll give you more information as we continue rolling this out.
I have a question around the degree of use for the overall program, and especially with concern as to children and youth and working adults having access, because so much is done on the internet. So although it's great that seniors, you're also helping the seniors get into your program, I have to admit, as Commissioner Mays know, I'm not a techie person. But just wondering how it's going overall.
Well, I excuse we should have a lot of seniors who signed up. Qualities the Gardens is funded unit property. It has 90% of adoption rate. And the people that didn't sign up, the reasons that they provided is used to this, it's part of the need to change. There's some language barriers that even though we try to overcome, and you know, it's still, you know, I'm used to my Roku versus, you know, I don't want to use anything else. At the Campbell Village, the lived acceptance rate is about 89%. And I think, you know, if you don't mind calling you this, customer satisfaction results largely people were satisfied. There are some hiccups, you know, we're transparent, and our sales is working with each household to really try to fix the issue.
They're happy with it. They're happy.
Excuse me, can you state your, come closer to the microphone, state your name, and that way the public can hear you, my friend.
I'm Betty Bay, Resident Services Portfolio Manager with the Asset Management Department. And just to echo on what Anna has mentioned, that the residents at Campbell are very happy with their internet service. And if there's ever a challenge, they can reach out to me or Aaron Google, and we're quick to address any concerns that they have.
And are most of the school-age children able to access it pretty easily?
Yes.
Oh, great. And working adults also.
I will say it's 10 gigabyte speed, so they're happy. They're gamers in the community. It's really good fun.
Thank you. Thanks. That's good to hear.
We are also thinking, as I look at our commissioner who lives in a community where that's going on, we also are looking at the physical layout of the buildings. And as Mr. Schifferl mentioned, the distinction between the how the Wi-Fi is being implemented. So those would be some of the spaces, especially at the community, which is 1952. The older the community, the more I think we've had some incidents of lag time, would be right, Commissioner?
Yes, buffing in. But their customer service is great.
Oh, good.
Because I text them, you know, I sent them an email. Within 3 minutes, they called me back to help me with the issue.
And it's awesome.
So I'm really happy.
It all depends on placement of the modem. Some of our older buildings that were built in the 30s, that infrastructure, we've got concrete walls, we've got things that new modems aren't used to. So they've been moving those around, and we're trying to find the best spot. And the nice thing about AirView is when they find an issue in a spot where they've installed the unit, if there's any similar layouts, they can then, if somebody calls in, they can then try to troubleshoot based on what they've already learned. So they're a learning type of customer service.
Exactly.
So is the Dell cord wired? Right now, they're just going to have to be updated. They're not wired.
They're not wired at all. So the cost of $130,000 will consist of the installation cost, which is roughly $50,000, and then it's the cost for 5 years at flat fee per unit for each year of utilization.
And the wires aren't going to be. They're going to be inside building, so where they won't be messed with outside.
It's the same. Same type of infrastructure build that we did everywhere else.
Okay, that's what I did.
No wires swinging off of buildings and anywhere else. It's inside the walls, underneath the crawl spaces, like a regular install.
Okay.
And Commissioner, thank you for that. And Chair and Commission, if you notice with the Commissioner's questions, he was part of our resident leadership team to assist in this endeavor. So I think I speak on behalf of the entire team, including Mr. Duplessis. We have learned more about technology in this endeavor than we ever thought we would need. So it's been a fun ride. And I appreciate the personal commitment to our leadership team on getting it accessible for everyone. Thank you.
Thank
We have a question actually from Commissioner Dardis. And her question is about when all of our properties will have internet, and I assume that that is in the up to the 3 to 4 months when it takes to wire at a bell. Is that right? Okay.
These are the public housing communities.
Yeah,
if I wanted to make sure we.
Yeah.
Yep.
That the answer. That answer your question, Commissioner Dardis?
And as she mentioned, most, yes, in our newer developments that were built within the last 10, 15 years, and I'm looking at Miss Anna, tend to have had internet access built into the development of the property.
I thought it was just the public housing units. I'm sorry, I wasn't clear. I would have, that's what I was assuming, that Adelita would be the last of the public housing properties. Yeah.
Just to mention, one of the OHA self-developed sites, Castle Brown, the village, have free internet for their clients, 150 units, since the time the property was built in 2008.
Okay. Yeah. I'm looking at the historian, but yep, that sounds right. Yes. Thank you.
I have just one quick question, and it's kind of piggybacking on the question that was asked before, and for the, especially for the seniors who have signed up, do we have connected educational support for folks who have, okay.
Absolutely, I have okay. Been there, so talk about that.
Yes, to your question, we do have digital literacy classes that have started at Palo Vista, and they're gonna continue. So I'm in conversation with Tech Exchange, not only to provide the digital literacy classes, but then to provide a laptop afterwards.
Okay.
After the end of the classes. So that's going to be going routinely, and we're hoping to roll it out to Adele once they're situated with the Wi-Fi program.
Wonderful. Excellent.
And as you mentioned, Ms. Araceli named another part of our ecosystem for addressing the digital divide, and that's the Nonprofit Tech Exchange,
yes.
Which is separate from a community-based organization that actually awarded the Housing Authority a Leader in Technology Championship about 2 years ago. So it's there are about four organizations that assist in this endeavor in different ways, including education.
And you know, equipment. And Mills College and Northeastern University, that merger, they're willing to partner with groups and helping folks use, you know, AI, use their technology devices, particularly seniors, right, that are having a more challenging time. So, yeah, thank there's, you. Like, really good partners out there.
Thank you.
This is not, we don't need any vote, but despite that, Secretary Wells, are there any members of the public wishing to address the board regarding this item?
There are none, Chair.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And this will take us to item 7.8, which is also an informational item.
Thank you so much. 7.8 is an informational presentation on the year in review 2025. This is a celebration of the 12 months in the calendar year for the Open Housing Authority and many of our partnerships with nonprofit affiliates. It celebrates achievements toward our four goals in the multi-year strategic plan, achievements to our multiple goals in our MTW plan, and just general achievements in camaraderie, community building, resident leadership, and resident engagement for all of the staff teams that work here with the Oakland Housing Authority. And here to present on this item is our Director of Policy Implementation and Compliance, Ms. Nicole Thompson. Ms. Thompson?
Good evening, Board of Commissioners and Executive Director Wells. I'm Nicole Thompson, Director of Planning and Implementation and Compliance Department. I am excited to present our 2025 year in review, where I will highlight the remarkable achievements of our programs, property, people served, and our administrative work performed. This presentation will showcase not only our successes, but also our dedication and hard work that have propelled us forward. To help illustrate our journey, and accomplishment, we have prepared a video that will encapsulate our key achievements over the past year. I look forward to sharing these highlights with you this evening on the progress we've made together. This presentation will cover four areas, which is programs, properties, people, and administrative. The Lease Housing team kicked off the year with opening the Housing Choice Voucher application, which established a new wait list with 5,000 applicants. They addressed over 50,000 calls and assisted 14,000 walk-in appointments and provided support to five different languages, which consists of English, Spanish, Cantonese, Mandarin, and Vietnamese. In addition, they issued over $1 million in security deposit assistance to facilitate 502 move-ins. The Jobs Plus East Oakland Works Program team enrolled 67 new members to their program and disregarded over $500,000 in Jobs Plus earned income disregarded throughout the third quarter. Two program participants of the home ownership program achieved the American dream and became a homeowner with the down payment assistance from the Cal Home program. The Family Self-Sufficiency program graduated 21 participants and distributed over $318,000 in escrow funds to program participants. SCP revamped their food pantry program to the NEAT program, which stands for Nourish, Educate, Access, Thrive, and incorporated food education, distributing over 65,000 pounds of food to over 3,100 households. FCP distributed welcome kits, welcome home kits, and retention kits to equip 110 residents with essential household items. The asset management team scaled its on-site programming at Campbell Village and Keller Plaza, which increased resident participation through a variety of programming for the whole family. Next slide. This is a couple of images of our staff and programs that was facilitated. Next slide. In regards to our property, the Office of Property Operations processed 112 new applicants and facilitated transfer unit move-ins throughout the Oakland Affordable Housing Preservation Initiative, which is OPI sites, and processed 51 new applicants and facilitated transfer unit move-ins throughout the public housing portfolio. They processed over 16,500 work orders, 12,500 in the OP and 4,500 in public housing. They collaborated with the Center of Employment, CEO Works, to help keep OP properties free of illegal dumping, addressing over 2,500 incidents. The Office of Real Estate Development, also known as ORAD, was busy partnering, investing, and buying property to develop into affordable housing. Through their partnership investments, four housing projects completed constructions on 264 units of affordable housing throughout the city of Oakland, which consists of 50 studios and one bedroom units at the Friendship Senior Development, 76 units at 3050 International, 101 affordable modular units at the Phoenix in the Prescott neighborhood of West Oakland, and 37 units at Coliseum Way, which provide permanent supported housing for chronically homeless households in East Oakland. The rehab construction was also completed on 261 units within Lion Creek Phase 1 and 2 throughout the partnership with Related and Evolve. ORAD also closed on construction finance and re-syndicated and RAD Section 18 conversions of 21 public housing units at the Foothill Housing Development. In addition, acquired limited partner interest in 134 affordable housing projects, Casa Ferranda, Phase 1, from National Equity Fund Tax Credit Investor. This project was developed with Casa Ferranda Corporation, who's very well known families. ORAD also acquired 401 Santa Clara Avenue, a former independent senior living community with 103 apartments, units, and a variety of common areas and outdoor space in the Grand Lake neighborhood where few affordable housing opportunities exist, And the last is Mandela Affordable Station. Mandela Station Affordable, comprised of 240 affordable units, received a tax credit and utilized combination of development loans by, excuse me, development loans and project-based voucher funding. This project is in partnership with Strategic Urban Development Alliance and Pacific West Communities. Moving on to our capital improvement department. This team was busy last year improving our properties. They completed 105 full unit modernizations, encompassing 54 units turns, 11 property re-roofs, 26 full unit under slab sewer replacement, 4 large rehab projects, in addition to 11 minor rehab projects. Additionally, 19 decks repairs have been initiated to ensure compliance with California Senate Bill 721, which mandates apartment owners to have above grade decks and stairs inspected and repairs. All necessary inspections have been completed. Construction repairs have been commenced and are expected to be done amp by amp. We anticipate the completion later this year. Next slide. Here's another slide of our staff and our property at our properties. Some of these items that you see here is the Phoenix, our property 401 Santa Clara, but you'll see more of this in the video. Next slide. Under people, the asset management services team took the lead with promoting literacy and facilitated a book drive that received over 1,000 books, which were distributed across multiple housing sites. Half of the books were donated by OHA employees and several partners, such as Community Education Partner and the East Oakland Children Book Project. The team awarded 5 residents pursuing higher education with $1,000 scholarships to 3 residents from Casa Ferranga and 2 at the Keller Plaza apartment. In addition, the public housing residents signed up to receive free Wi-Fi. 221 public housing residents signed up to receive free Wi-Fi access at Campbell Village and Palo Vista to enhance their digital connectivity and access online resources. They also collaborated with the health and wellness fairs at the senior sites in Campbell Village and assisted 445 residents. SVP launched its Coffee Time, a weekly socialization program that offers residents coffee, tea, and a light breakfast. The program encourages community connection and support mental well-being through games and activities, while serving as a platform for program presentations and resident engagement. In partnership with OHAPD, OPO, and FCP, hosts its annual end-of-school year Black Party at Lockwood Gardens and issued 120 backpacks filled with school supplies to get them ready for the school year. FCP hosted its first annual Resident and Partnership Appreciation event to highlight resident achievements in leadership, academic, and self-sufficiency while highlighting the strength found in collaboration and community partnerships. In addition, they hosted the 42nd annual Senior Splendor theme Hollywood Legends, which brought seniors together for a day of community entertainment and celebrations. Residents enjoyed a catered meal, live music, a fashion show, and a line dance, while longtime residents and planning committee members were honored on the Hollywood Legend Walk of Fame. FCP encouraged youth to participate in the Housing Insurance Group 2025 Fire Safety Poster Contest, aimed at encouraging you to express creativity while learning essential fire safety practices. Several of you participated in 3 or selected as winners. In partnership with the Boys and Girls Club of San Francisco, 21 youth got the opportunity to experience Camp Mendocino. This opportunity exposed you to outdoor leadership, development, emotional learning activities, and structure in supporting Camp 7. And last, FCP and OHA closed out the year with their hosting their 11th annual Winter in Wonderland celebration with 700 residents in attendance, which was staffed by many of OHA residents and 2 of our board commissioners Commissioner Lee and Commissioner Mays. Next. More pictures of our activities and our activities and events that we hosted. The last slide. Administrators. The finance team received the 11th and 12th GFOA Award for Excellent in Financial Reporting for the Annual Comprehensive Financial Report for the fiscal year 23 and 24. They produced the agency's fiscal year 26 budget in collaboration with all OHA departments, set up and updated 507 vendor records and issued 3,845 1099 forms to have payments. The team also opened 195 job codes for CID, capital improvement projects. Last year, the police department had much to celebrate, receiving their law enforcement ninth ACLIA recertification and their third award in communications. They held an award ceremony to honor new promoted staff, recognizing the achievements such as Medal of Valor, Blue Star, and accommodations for supervisors and commanders. Additionally, the department hired 11 new team members, including police officer and PSH dispatchers, and promoted the interim chief to a permanent chief. OHA received a NARA Community Innovation Award for the Safety Awareness for Everyone Safe program, which provided a comprehensive emergency preparedness training tailored to residents at each of the housing sites, emphasizing accessibility, cultural responsiveness, and resident-centered design. The PIC team submitted the NTW plan to ensure we were in HUD compliance with our NTW reporting requirements and collaborated with the city and county to publish the regional analysis of impediment of fair housing to fair housing. The PIC team also participated in planning the committee for the nationwide NTW collaborative conference held in DC and presented information sessions at three of the panel discussions. Almost there. The PIC team coordinated training with CORO, and 19 staff were selected from seven departments to participate in an eight-week CORO training, which focused on strengthening leadership practices, strategic thinking, and collaboration. The PIC Resource Associate hosted a total of six public engagement sessions to discuss the Referential Assistance Pilot and gain insight from 70 residents, property owners, and staff. In collaboration, PIC Senior Policy Analyst and the Senior Management Analyst co-hosted six agency-wide volunteer training sessions with over 200 forward-facing staff members. Lastly, Human Resource Department hosted two 10K day challenges in which 43 OHA participants participated and walked over 10 day steps. I think I got a little bit more, almost done. The contracting compliance and general services staff attended five business events to engage with vendors and register interested business to receive notifications of upcoming solicitations. They completed 261 procurement requests, issued 682 purchase orders, which was a significant increase from calendar year 24. Launched the contract cleanup project and established quarterly procurement planning cadence with clients' department. In addition, facilitated one of two informational solicitation training for staff and conducted hands-on guided training on the cobblestone automatic workflow process, procure charts, desk manuals, and video trainings. Last for real. The IT launched OHA redesigned public website, enhancing usability and accessibility for residents, property owners, and community stakeholders. Key improvements include an AI-powered chatbot to assist users to quickly locate resources, a streamlined events calendar which publishes in addition to the communication tools used to inform community of OHA program services and updates. This concludes my informational presentation. Please join me now in watching a short video that encapsulates our achievements. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
information. Thank you for your time. Please let us know if you have any questions. I have all my department directors here to answer any questions.
Thank you so much, Ms. Thompson, and Chair and Commissioners, audience. This dropped the mic. I want to thank everybody who participated in putting together this presentation, along with Ms. Thompson, Ms. Brittany Felder, and Ms. Ashley Gant, as well as everyone around the room on providing the information. It's a celebration of all the things that all of the full-time, part-time vendor partners, resident leaders do to create a community of welcoming, care, learning from what works and what doesn't work. And if there was ever a reason to ask ourselves why we show up every day in the spaces that we get to occupy, working with the Oakland Housing Authority, Ms. Thompson, you helped us see that tonight. And thank you. Thank you all. Chair, that concludes our staff report for
2025. And that's my staff report.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions from that?
I just want to comment that I wish on our Zoom platform we had a reaction button, because there would be balloons and hearts floating all over the screen. Just want to lift up the substance and the humanity and the dignity and the love and the hard work. Oh, thank you. What? Bravo. Good job. Good job. Keep it up. That's what I want to say. Wow. Amen.
Thank you, Commissioner Dardis.
Chairman.
Okay, please, Commissioner Castillo.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just gonna ditto our directors and Commissioner Dardis's words and say, I'm so grateful. We are so extra. That was amazing. I really want to really commend and praise the staff to plan and execute such a vast array of events that speak to our people culturally, address the digital divide, education, employment. There were so many things there. Addressing hunger through our food program. It's like we left no stone unturned when it come to offering such a vast array of events and community building activities for our people. And so it must have took so much to put that together, to execute that, to plan. And I just can't even imagine what it took to put all that together. But the impact that we have to present activities like this, bringing it to the folks right at their doorstep, it's amazing, because our people probably, because we're living in this time and bombarded by all that we have, would not think to have a Halloween party or a backpacking event. So it's just amazing that we could offer this and increase quality of life through this vast array of activities. I'm so very grateful to be part of OHA right now. Just seeing that package like that, I'm blown away, as I think all of you guys are. And I just want to say thank you once again to staff, and congratulations on a job well done. Thank you.
What I'll add to that is I'm not only grateful, but I'm really proud. Really proud of the whole team. Really proud to be a part of this organization.
Thank you. Thank you. And many of the photos had our commissioners in it. So thank you for commissioners coming out on your afternoons, your Saturdays, your evenings to celebrate the hard work of our team members. And as importantly, participation with our residents. And as an extra shout out to Commissioners Mays and Commissioners Montgomery, who are diligent at attending the Resident Advisory Board and a part of that volunteer group. So thank you both.
Thank you.
like to thank our director for just being so inclusive, you know, including just and acknowledging us. I enjoyed the work, and with Nicole and our director from a long time ago, and so to see them here today leading us, you know, leading the authority, and so it gives me joy to see this.
Thank you.
And thank you, Nicole, for putting it together. With I appreciate with the enthusiasm that you put into it. So, and Bill and I, we enjoy the RAB, and what we can contribute to the residents is what our job is. So we appreciate that. Thank you. We appreciate you all. Yeah.
All we can say is ditto to all the things that have been said. Again, we're very proud and grateful for all the work.
Thank you.
And I want to make sure that there's an opportunity for the public to weigh in case anyone does. Secretary Wells?
We did have a comment from the public. One of the attendees said, what a kind and supportive Board of Commissioners representing this housing authority. So you got a shout out by your comments this evening. So thank you. Thank you.
I wasn't even fishing for comments.
No, it actually came in. So
thank you, everyone. And this brings us back to actual business. Sorry, but... we're at item 8, our consent agenda.
Thank you very much, Chair. Items on the consent agenda are considered routine and do not require separate discussion. If a commissioner wishes to have discussion or if a member of the public wishes to comment on any consent item, the item may be removed from the consent agenda and considered separately. Questions and clarifications may be considered by the commission without removal from the consent agenda. The consent agenda is adopted in one moment, and Chair and commissioners presented and listed on our agenda for this evening. Thank you.
Any questions or comments? Any items on the consent agenda? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to approve all of the items from the consent agenda.
I'll make the motion to approve.
Thank you, Commissioner May. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Secretary Wells, are there any members of the public wishing to address this item?
There are none, Chair.
Can I get a roll call vote?
Sir Griffith?
Aye.
Mr. Mays?
Aye.
Mr. John Lee?
Aye.
Mr. Montgomery?
Aye.
Mr. Castillo?
Aye.
Mr. Gardis?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Commissioner,
Hi, moving on to item 9, written communications from our department directors. As you will note in your packet, you have the written communication monthly reports for our director departments, program and operational and central office for November 2025 as well as December 2025. A few of the highlights that you'll find within the packet is that our family and community partnership celebrated a graduate of our FSS program with an escrow reimbursed disbursement of $14,276.62 after meeting all graduation requirements. What's noted is working through the FSS program, this participant increased her annual income from no earned income to $48,605. So it is a testament to that tenant's dedication and our staff's support. As we noted in the video, the homeownership program celebrated its second home purchase of the year in December, specifically December 26th, Merry Christmas. And the homeowner is a mother of two who works at UCSF Benioff Children's Hospital, and she purchased a two-bedroom, one-bath home in our beautiful East Oakland community. And then our FSS coordinators in December also partnered with the Open Anticipation to host a holiday dinner for youth, engaged with the foster youth system, just providing an opportunity for celebration to make sure that all of our young scholars understand they are seen and appreciated. On December 20th, our Family Community Partnerships Department volunteered with the Oakland Black Firefighters Association and Allen Temple Baptist Church, distributing 75 groceries, bags of groceries to residents of the Oakland Housing Authority. We appreciate the efforts of our partners and the support to our families. Our Asset Management Department also celebrated a host of 5 celebrations at different contract managed properties throughout the city of Oakland, distributing gifts, ensuring celebratory in all ways of celebrating the month of December and January with families from all different walks of heritage, and kept very busy afternoon, morning, and early evening. The Oakland Housing Authority Police Department successfully hosted our 6th annual Pancake Social at Lockwood Gardens Community East Oakland, and they were supported and had partnership with our family community partners, Office of Property Operations, Real Estate Department, Asset Management Team, to provide camaraderie, warmth, and welcoming to a host of families out there. And we also had information distributed from our partners at the Alameda County Public Health Department and our Wi-Fi endeavor. A celebration for the Oakland Housing Authority Foundation, where there was an appointment of our own Director of Policy Implementation, Nicole Thompson, as president of the foundation, working alongside Lieutenant Casey Mooningham, and they are taking the foundation to new heights and enhancement of its next generation of serving residents in the city of Oakland, served by the Oakland Housing Authority, as well as our commitment in partnership with the former Oakland Housing Authority Police Officers Association to support families of fallen or traumatized members of our peace enforcement community. The foundation also co-hosted with Councilmember Kevin Jenkins on his 2nd annual community turkey giveaway, where we had an outstanding, and I just remiss on the number, but I believe at the point in time, we had over 25 volunteers of Oakland Housing Authority staff and family members on a cold Saturday morning to distribute turkeys and groceries to over 100 members of our East Oakland community. And much appreciation, because that's our Housing Authority staff coming out of the goodness of their hearts and volunteering both with dollars as well as energy, and the family members who showed up. I think our youngest volunteer was 4 years old. And we had quite an effort there. The Housing Authority Foundation, for the first time, partnered with the Oakland Metro Chamber of Commerce, along with the Oakland Builders Alliance, to host a special toy drive benefiting both our Oakland Mayor Lee's toy drive as well as the Oakland Housing Authority Foundation's toy drive. In that endeavor, we actually utilized one of our own markets here in West Oakland, the Prescott Market. It was a full house of celebration. The Housing Authority staff team from Contract Compliance and General Services and I, Mr. Rufus Davis and Mr. Josh Grogan, were able to engage with a whole lot of prospective vendors and members of our business community, and just really, really much appreciation to celebrate global giving with so many members of the Oakland Chamber of Commerce. And those are just some of the highlights from those 2 months. Reports, commissioners, is a good 100 pages of great reading to complement the video tonight. And I want to thank the Oakland Housing Authority directors, and our team is available if there are any questions.
Thank you. Questions or comments from the commissioner? There's so much good stuff in there.
Exactly. Great. Bravo. I'll say it again. You know, just thank you for your leadership, Director Wells, and the team that you've that you're managing and leading, and who are giving their time and supporting each other and just transforming lives. Just thank you. It's just been extraordinary. Tonight's meeting is really been an uplift. Thank you. We so need this right now. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Moving on to our next item, Chair.
Oh, I want to make sure that the members of the public, if they would like to add comments.
We have no individuals from the public seeking to provide comment, Chair.
Oh,
Okay, great. So let's move on to item 10.
Great. Item number 10 is the executive director report, and I'm going to compliment some of what's already been reported. This first item is an edition of fantastic photos of our Winnie Wonderland extravaganza. Again, thank you to our commissioners for showing up and supporting that endeavor. Next slide, please. This is our own in Oakland Housing Authority Employees Association in their annual holiday gathering using our property at 1600 Harrison. And my understanding, I was not able to attend, but my understanding was joyful, very musical, a whole lot of great food, and a whole lot of great fellowship amongst our Employees Association, who also support our foundation endeavors, I should mention. Next slide, please. This is the graduation of, not the graduation, we hosted two things under the leadership of our Chief of Social Impact, Dominica Henderson. The Coral Fellows Program has been providing training to specific members of our professional team here at the Oakland Housing Authority. To complement that, we were visited by the East Bay Coral Fellows cohort for 2025. That group came here and had kind of a meet and greet with the executive director, interviewed me on all things policy, mission, and the why in the work and how it relates to the greater ecosystem of what's happening in public service, both nationally and locally, quite frankly. They did not let me off the hook. Several of the fellows have worked with housing authorities, housing community development, nonprofit. It was a very, very bright group, and in fact, one of the members of the Fellows Coral Fellows Program is working with Ms. Thompson to enhance our Open Housing Authority Foundation and take it to that next level. So I felt like we were on our toes that day. So appreciation for their interest in affordable housing work. Next slide, please. This is an example of Housing Authority at our best in partnership. This is the Open Housing Authority and Police Department's participation with the annual Three Wiseman Toy Giveaway in District 5 underneath the leadership of Councilmember Gallo. And on this day, the toy giveaway served over 100 families and in partnership with other 500 families. Thank you very much. And in this partnership, the partner agencies representing alongside the Oakland Housing Authority Police Department was the California Highway Patrol, BART Police Department, Oakland Police Department, Alameda County Sheriff's Department, San Francisco Sheriff's Department, and the District Attorney's Office. And as you can see by the photographs, our Fruitvale Transit Center was filled with families eager to just be able to fellowship and camaraderie, as Chief Dupree describes it, amongst our partners in providing peace throughout Alameda County. It was a lot of joy and a lot of appreciation for that endeavor. And so we're looking to see how we might complement that partnership with the Oakland Housing Authority Foundation in future endeavors. Thank you so much. Next slide, please. On January 22nd, several of us got up to be at City Hall as well as two other spots here in the city of Oakland to participate in the much needed point in time count. If you see some familiar faces in the center there, is our own director of property operations, Mark Shifra, our executive administrative assistant, Mr. Jose Perez, and our own chair, Ann Griffith, there. They were out of coffee, so we were relying on smiles and good juju. But it was also an amazing volunteer endeavor. If you look at the picture on the right, my understanding is one of the highest numbers of volunteers in the city of Oakland. And and on the left is our own Patrick Messick, who is our main partner with our Wi-Fi endeavor, representing the city of Oakland. So it was our morning to get together and dialogue with members of our community who are unhoused early in the morning. Stay tuned for some of what the result of that morning was. But one of the things, of the many takeaways in just asking Mr. Schiffer or Mr. Barrios what the takeaway was the stories are not what are printed and expected. And the youngest person we interviewed was 31 years of age. This delightful young man, I'm going to call him Don. And Don preached to us that morning. He is an entrepreneur that talks about basically ended up homeless because of a broken heart, and how that amplified things for him. And one of the things he challenged us with after thanking us for the work that we do and the questions we asked was, as we all walk about and we engage with folks who you look in the eye and you see them, actually seeing them, and his words were, just say something, just say hello, just say hi, just give us dignity and we'll give it back. And he had some wonderful stories about what that means in his community of others who are unhoused, and to being schooled by several of the people we interviewed on what it's really like to navigate the system of acquiring services when you are unhoused. And in this case, of every in person that we interviewed was male, and 95% of them were African-American males. And our district was around Lake Merritt and the greater neighborhood around Lake Merritt. So much appreciation. I do believe we had other volunteers with the Oakland Housing Authority. We weren't able to canvas some of the photographs, but I want to get input from some of them just to add context to the hard work that the staff has been doing, from everything from the initiatives under MTW for being able to provide housing to folks at risk for homelessness, families with children, ex-offenders, folks exiting out of the foster care system, as well as people exiting out of camps under the leadership of our staff team. This really amplified the why the work is so important that morning, and opens up the door for us to do continue to do the work that the Moving to Work program allows us to do with our flexibility and the energy that we get from each of the staff in the work that we do every day. So, Chair, it was awesome to see you out there. And again, my appreciation for Jose and Mark. What's crazy is that you're out there doing work, you're cold, you're walking a long time, and at the end of it, you are literally energized to do more. So hopefully I spoke on behalf of us pretty good in what we talked about, team. Next slide, please. I also want to highlight just one more thing, and you heard from Commissioner Dardis. We are graced with the presence of Commissioner Bill Mays. On excuse is Commissioner Hartwig, but that's because they are all representing, along with 20 of our staff at the National Association of Housing and Development Officials Northern California chapter meeting taking place these last few days. A lot of training, a lot of engagement. We have staff presenting at that endeavor. So I just wanted to voice my appreciation to the commissioners, and especially Commissioner Bill, who came all the way in to be here with us today and then turn around and go all the way back for your commitment to the Housing Authority. Thank you also, Commissioner Dardis. And we look forward to what you bring back, you and the staff team. We have staff and leadership in the chapter there. And so just interested to see how we can take that, bring it home, and continue our good work. And Chair and Commissioners, that concludes my report. Thank you very much.
I just want to add. And that is that was my first time participating in the point in time count. I was a little nervous about getting up so early. Worked out real well. But I just really recommend it as an experience to anyone who has not participated in the point in time count.
Wow.
It is great. It is. I mean, I don't know exactly what word to use because it's complicated. But it was an experience that I certainly needed, and one that filled me up at the same time. Yes. So
I was in deep Eastern Home, and there were a lot of people there. There are a lot of young volunteers, which was great. And talking with them, it was their first time when they just saw an ad and said they wanted to do something.
Wow.
Big team next year, big team.
Okay. How long were you all out there? Could you guys just describe a little bit of the process, just a little? Or I should say.
Sign up online, they give you a little training video that you watch the night before. I think there was a chance to participate on an actual Zoom call about it. I wasn't that connected, so I watched the recording of it. You show up in the morning on the day of. The arrival is at 5. Folks are out the door around 6. They feed you. They don't provide you with enough coffee. And you travel in teams. And there's team leaders who support all of their team members. Everyone who you speak with receives a gift card. And we also had other offerings for folks who wanted those, so hygiene kits or food left over from our breakfast, just a number of things that we could also share. And you select a part of the city that you want to participate in, and in advance, and you spend, the amount varies, so it depends on the concentration of folks that you may have a conversation with, and how many people are on your actual team. So my team was actually around Temescal. We finished around a little before 10. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure when you guys finished.
Yeah, we got through about the same time. So each team has a map and a chart of where you go. So we had a 94th to 106th international up to Bancroft, and many of the more scattered sites where there were only one or two people reported, we didn't find people there at that time, but sometimes we could see that they had left their belongings. A lot of people were international, They were grateful to be able to talk. Folks who worked on the point in time gave up flyers before. So those who were unhoused knew that many of them did know that there was going to be a come in time. And having the kits to offer, both kits and gift sanitation kits and gift cards, was helpful, which they really appreciated, and it helped bring more people to come talk with us.
Thank you. Our team, I think, finished closer to 11 o'clock, but part of that was the enthusiasm of our team, and one of our partners is the Department of Transportation. We didn't want to leave any block unturned, so we went to a lot of minor blocks. And because we're all talkers, the interviews, which are on an app, so you're filling out an app system, much like the census, went a little bit long. But our own Mr. Schiffrell used it as an opportunity as we were going past some of our scattered site properties to point out things that could be partnerships with our team member. So leave no opportunity unspoken to. And that might have had us go a little bit longer, but I think we observed or engaged about 20 individuals around, and we were one half of the Lake District. I realize I kind of misquoted. We were one half of the Lake District. But the way you described it, Chair, is it's complicated because you don't want to have to do the work. You would wish the need wasn't there to interview families, but gosh, when you hear the stories and the motivation about how we should think, how we can continue to think differently about the work that we do in serving our unhoused neighbors, it was a shot of vitamins and inspiration. So hopefully that helps, Commissioner Dardis.
Yes, it was very vivid. You just brought all you and Anne just brought us to the and Lynette, you just brought us to the point in time count. That was really amazing. Thank you. And thank you for doing that, truly.
But it's nothing compared to being there, so we look forward to seeing you.
Okay, I'll do it next year. Yeah.
So you're 2 years there.
Okay, 2 years.
Yeah. All right, so that does move us on to the next item, which is item 11, reports of commission committees.
There were none during this time period, Chair.
Do we have any announcements by commissioners? Okay, well, if that's the case, We do have a closed session, so I would entertain a motion to adjourn into closed session.
So,
can I get a second? Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Mr. Griffin.
Aye.
Mr. Mays.
Aye.
Mr. Dunwoody.
Aye.
Mr. Montgomery.
Aye.
Mr. Castillo.
Aye.
Mr. Gardner.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously, and we'll take a 20-minute break.
Perhaps since we're so close in proximity, a 5-minute break,
okay.
So that the team that can be excused for the evening can venture on away. We can also, commissioners online, we'll be moving you to a specific room, I believe, so that you can participate in closed session. And for the leadership members that are asked to stay to participate is Mr. Felder, Mr. Madamba, Mr. Deloy, Chief Dupree, and Chief Henderson, and Mr. Chief Gregley. So thank you. With that, everybody else, thank you for your presentations, and drive safely, please.
Thank you. We have returned from closed session at 9:08 p.m. I recused myself from item 14.3, but otherwise we have nothing to report from closed session. That being the case, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
This is Commissioner Dardis, I second.
We got the second. Roll call, there you are.
Mr. Griffin.
Aye.
Mr. Mays.
Aye.
Mr. Dunwoody.
Aye.
Mr. Montgomery.
Aye.
Mr. Dardis.
Aye.
CEO.
Aye.
Motion carries, we're all going home.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.
May the first, and Montgomery was the second.